'Tis the news, according to me. How dare you? Shabbat shalom, everyone. It's Friday evening. It's 5:22 Eastern Standard Time. I'm in my home studio this evening. Kind of an unusual thing for me on a weeknight. However, it is a Friday night, weeknight. And I had lots of issues to deal with today. I have lots of issues. I have lots of baggage, and all my bags are full of issues. Got a few interesting topics to cover today, this evening, this afternoon, as we go into the weekend. Things to think about. I think that our SCOTUS now has completely lost its mind. The Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS. Something's drastically wrong with these people. It's like we only have like two or three sane ones on the board, on the board of Supremes anymore. I don't know. It's so I guess they make this deal. They made a deal with the DOJ, Department of Justice. For those of you who don't know what that is, not Dodge. Sounds like a rapper. I'm DOJ. Yo, DOJ, yeah. So something, I don't know, something like that. Yeah. I'm not a rapper. I don't know. There's a sanctuary city issue out there. And, I guess there's a case up with the SCOTUS going to the Supreme Court right now on sanctuary city issues, which are completely, it's blasphemous. You want to talk about a rule of law, the temple of democracy, a threat to our republic, any of those, you know, things that they like to bring up all the time. You want to talk about any of that? Sanctuary cities are, I always want to say the word abomination, but I'm afraid people are going to think it's talking about Obama. An abomination, spelled differently. It's not an abomination. Not anymore. So, however, he is running the show right now. His handlers are running the show right now. That's why I think. I'm not sure who's running the show, actually, for sure. But that's my theory. Apparently, there's some kind of deal. So there was some kind of a case that they've agreed not to take because the DOJ wants them to put it off. Either put it off or reject it. And I'm not exactly sure what ended up happening there. But how do you go there? How do you go there? And who's, how does that work? How does one department tell another department what to do like that? I've never heard of this before in my life. But it's happening. Now, this comes back to who is controlling a particular justice who sits as the chief justice on the Supreme Court. Who's controlling him? And how are they controlling him? What do they have on this guy? Because that's what we now have a mafia, as so to speak. It's kind of like you pay for protection in us. You know, you get these people in some of these big cities. For those of you who don't know, and I'm sure that most of you have heard about this, but for those who haven't, I'll explain how this works. So the gang comes to you and they say, "Now, say you have a store, a little store in downtown, some big city, just any town, So say you're downtown in this town, and it's a big town. You got this little business. It's a mom-and-pop operation. You're trying to make it. And you do okay. You work hard. You're there all the time. You work hard. You make some money. And along comes the local gang. Because you're in their territory. And they walk in the door and they say, "Hey, we can provide protection for you here." And you're like, "Well, I don't need protection. I got a gun and I've got my, or maybe it's in a city that doesn't allow guns. This is where it gets worse. This is how it actually usually goes down. You're in a gun free zone. So, the thugs come in and they say, "Well, we're going to provide you with protection. You just all you have to do is pay us $1,000 a week, or whatever it is, $1,000 a month, and we will provide you with protection. You will make sure you don't get robbed." "Oh, okay, like a security system, like a security service." Yeah, that's it. Yeah, security. Yeah, we're going to provide security for you for $1,000 a month." Okay, so you, and that's not what it is, actually. I'll explain that later for those of you who don't understand what's going on here. But you might say, no, I don't need security. So the next thing you know, you get robbed because the gang robs you. They're going to get their money one way or another. So they come in and they offer you, this money. Or they offer you this opportunity to pay this money to them so you can be protected from them. So they're selling you their willingness to leave you alone. You're basically paying them to leave you alone. If you don't pay them to leave you alone, they will not leave you alone. That's how it works. It's like a shakedown type thing. And it almost seems as if that's the kind of organization we have right now with the DOJ. Yeah, my dog's whining about it. He doesn't like it. It's getting close to supper time, and they're getting a little bit antsy. And the kitty's running around outside my little studio door. And my one dog doesn't really... He's concerned. He's still not sure what to think about this kitty thing. He thinks we're being taken over by our cats. By the way, I have nothing to drink right now. I have no water. I have no tea, hot chocolate, chai, nothing. I'm sacrificing. I'm it's like I'm walking through a desert with no liquid. So that's kind of what we have going on here now. We have this deal where the DOJ pretty much the FBI, the DNA, the ISR, the WTS, the NSA, the CIA, all those alphabet places, they seem to just be in charge. They kind of seem to be running the show. And they can stand before Congress and lie through their fat teeth. And it just seems that they can get away with that. For example, Mr. Clapper, Mr. Brennan, just flat lie through their teeth. And they don't seem to have a problem with it. And nobody ever calls them on it. Congress never calls them on it. Now, maybe I wouldn't last long in Congress if I was there. But frankly, I would give up my sacred honor or whatever. If they find some dirt on me or whatever it is, I don't know what it would be, or make something up like I did with the dossier they had on Trump. See, now, this gets back to, Trump got into office. They didn't have anything on the guy. They were trying to. But it was being fabricated by, Strzok. Peter Strzok. because he was morally outraged that such a person could possibly get into office. So they had to make something up on the guy. They had to have an insurance policy. That's what he called it. That just in case he won, that that they would have a way to get him out. So this dossier comes floating in, and they decide to use that. So Mr. James Comey takes it to the president in a one-on-one meeting with the president. And the meeting didn't go so well, I take it. Wasn't long after that that Mr. Comey was fired. Now, he presented this dossier to the president as this is the kind of thing that's out there. Now, we don't know the full conversation that went on. We may never know. I don't know. Comey has his side of the story. And he supposedly took notes of this meeting. And then he didn't want to give it to the press, which, you know, technically, when you have a meeting, when you work for the president and you sit in on a meeting, that is deemed a classified meeting until deemed otherwise. It's just assumed that it's classified. It doesn't have to have a C on the little paper in order for it to be classified. You assume it's classified until it's deemed, you know, that there's no classified information there. It's just the way it is. Everything, any kind of meeting like that with the president, from within the administration, within the FBI, within the DOJ, within any of those things, it is considered a classified, confidential meeting. Any sharing of anything with that material is considered illegal. However, the person who would arrest you for that is the guy doing it. So that's the problem we have here with the situation. You following where I'm going with this? We have Fox watching Hen House. And so he brings this dossier in. And I'm convinced. And I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again for those of you who haven't heard me say it. He brings this dossier in to show the president, and this was an attempt to shake him down. I'm pretty sure that Comey wasn't very, very confident that this was a true document, that there was much in this document that was true. Now, maybe he thought it was, because he's just so out of touch. But he thought it was true. And so he presented that to the president, thinking that it would make, you know, maybe the president would start sweating and go, oh my gosh, we can't let this out. That's what he was hoping to hear. He was hoping to hear the president say, oh no, somebody found out about this. Who told you about this? Where did this come from? Well, he didn't do that. He didn't have that reaction because it was all made up. Because this was something Hillary Clinton paid for. The Clinton Foundation, the Clinton campaign, whoever it was, and the Clinton coffers paid for this dossier through Christopher Steele in Britain. And this isn't conspiracy theory crap. This actually happened. Jim Jordan has said it many times. He's connected the dots of how this whole thing was used. And they used the dossier to get the FISA court. And this happened before Trump was sworn in. This was happening before Inauguration Day on 2017, January 2017. Because that was already being used in the FISA court to get the warrant to do the wiretapping, if you want to call it that. The spying, the surveillance of people in the Trump campaign. One particular individual, and he wasn't even ever questioned by the FBI. So this whole thing happens. This is how it happens. This is how they work this stuff. Now, my theory, this is just a theory, is that Justice Roberts is under the thumb of the DOJ. And they have something on him. And somebody there is controlling things. This is my opinion. The deep state actors, I know this sounds very conspiratorial, kind of quacko, left, you know, crazy stuff still going on. But this, in the upper echelon of the DOJ, of the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the TIA, tippy-tippy-tay-tay, all those organizations, I think that they were kind of, and it all comes back to the DOJ, because you have Ratcliffe right now as the DIA, which is the Director of Intelligence, and that is the organization that compiles all the other intelligence agencies. And they all report to him. What did I say? DNI? Is that what I called it? Yeah, DNI. And he's a pretty straight shooter. However, here's the problem. That's a fairly new organization. And they present all these other organizations that have been around for 50 years, present this information, or 20 years at least, all of them present this information to Ratcliffe, or to the DNI, you know, officer, that the DNI administrator has no power to go in and research these things himself, the way I understand it. He's simply a curator of the information that is given to him. So if they're giving him false information, and this is the scary part of this whole thing, is that the president is depending on intelligence from people around him who could potentially be one-sided. And he's acting, making decisions on intelligence with intelligence that could potentially be very hazardous to the presidency. And I think that's what we had during the Trump administration. We had people that should have been trustworthy who thought, and this was out of Strzok's own mouth. I mean, this is the things he was saying. Even when he was being interviewed, he got fiery mad and got all indignant when he tried to make it sound like he really cared about the country. You know, he's so passionate for the country. Well, they're passionate for their agenda. And they think, and again, this comes back to the end justifies the means. And they are more than justified in doing what they're doing. They don't feel like they're committing a crime because they feel like they're doing the country a service. Because, you know, how could it possibly be that 74 plus million people would vote for this guy? Obviously, 81 million people obviously hate him because nobody voted for Joe. They just voted against Trump. Apparently, that's what we're being told. Like, that's even true. So I think we have a problem a little bit going on here. This is where the corruption, I think, is made manifest in our Department of Justice, if you want to call it that. And I use that term loosely just because it's titled that. Justice is what we need. I'm not sure how that happens. I really don't. And I guess the Q thing, here's the thing. The Q thing is still out there. It's still alive and well. I thought that it went away the day after the, well, it, you know, the weeks after the inauguration, there were still people saying, oh, nope, it's still going to happen. Now they were saying, of course, now the thing on the 4th, That was all. That there was a lot of chatter about that. There were still people out there saying that something was going to happen. And the Q thing is not about white nationalists or white supremacists, which I keep hearing from a lot. Some people actually in the Black Caucus within the Congress, and it's absolutely absurd. But this is what they keep saying, and I even heard this. There was a serious interview with a guy saying that, yes, as long as the white nationalists and the white supremacists and the white nationalists, they keep threatening this, we need to keep, he's the one who's calling on the National Guard to stay in the Capitol area until, I don't know, 2050 or whatever it's going to be, I don't know. Because we have this uprise, this uptick. Now, you have to understand, when they say white nationalists, they mean any Trump supporter. When they say white supremacists, they pretty much mean just about any white support, any Trump supporter. Even though there's a lot of, you know, somehow, for some reason, these white nationalists have attracted a higher percentage of Spanish-speaking people from Mexico. I'll call them Latino. I'm not going to go to this Latinx thing. I understand that there are a lot of them don't like that. The Native Americans, the Central Americans, the Black community, they increased his votes, the percentage of votes that he got in those communities, because they like white nationalists and white supremacists. That's how ridiculous that statement is. They watch too much CNN, apparently, in the old town of D.C. there. There's some other stuff about that. There's this one thing, and we'll get into that more with cancel culture stuff next week. Very good possibility that I'll be on the road again Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I will not be back in the studio until Wednesday afternoon. So Monday, Tuesday, and Tuesday and Wednesday morning, the show may be a little bit weird. The morning times should be okay, but I will be traveling. So just be aware of that. So I want you to prepare, because I don't want you to be, you know, thinking you're going to get your, TNA to me fix and it doesn't come in, doesn't come through for you. It'll be there. We'll have shows. It's just not as many, or not as long, or not as, thorough, because I won't. Well, there's some things I can do. Actually, I'll have more time probably this next week while I'm on the road than I did this last week. This last week was pretty intense. So this week will be much a little bit, it'll just be a lighter schedule. Let's put it that way. A little bit more normal. So they are requesting that the National Guard stay now for another, because they think that there's, since the 4th was the big day, March 4th was the big day that something was going to happen. Now, Q actually thinks that the military is going to sweep in and they're going to float in with Donald Trump is going to parachute back into the Capitol area, and he's going to be back in the presidency, because that was the day that the original inauguration was. So that was the day that was supposed to happen, which was yesterday. And then I heard somebody actually sent me a video today that was put out 3 days ago. I don't know if this guy, I'm not sure if the guy doing the video, I can't figure out if the guy doing the video is actually the person who owns the channel or not. It surprises me that videos like that are allowed to stay up. But they was talking about how it's going to happen at any minute now. The military is going to sweep in and go ahead and, they're going to take the Capitol over, and they're going to arrest all these people, sweep in. I don't see it happening, folks. I don't think this is going to happen. And I hate to be a pessimist. And it doesn't really matter what I think. If I don't think it's going to happen, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just what I think, it makes, reality lives outside of my thoughts. Just because I have a thought about something the way something's going to come down, it doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. I'm not a Christian scientist. or I'm not into Christian Science theology, I guess I should say. And it just, it's, it seems like so much false hope being, you know, propagated, and people kind of get, that just frustrates people even more. One thing, there's one scripture in Proverbs. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. How many times can you get the rug pulled out from under you and not just feel sick at heart? And it seems like that just keeps happening with this whole Q thing. People get their hopes up, and they're, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to, in the next few days. It's any second now. Oh, everybody's in place. All the things, everything's gone quiet. And now, you know, all the chatter stopped. They're just about ready to act. Well, they've extended it now until the 4th. Well, it's going to happen anytime between the 4th and the 6th. Well, that was actually a false flag. That was a false, they were trying to set everybody off. It's going to be on the 20th now. And that is actually what they're saying. It's going to be on the 20th now. According to news reports and what they believe, you know, Q is saying. And apparently they think Q is all about white nationalists and white supremacists. But the Q people think that it's going to be the military. And the things I've heard from Q says is military is going to sweep in, and there's all these people behind the scenes that are going to sweep in and take over and straighten this mess out. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think that would be a, I just don't see it happening, folks. I don't see, you know, I mean, think of the thousands and thousands of people that would have to be plucked up, hundreds of thousands. And how are you going to do that? And do it quietly. And why would you let anybody know it's going to happen? If it was such a secret clandestine operation, why would you be letting it leak out on YouTube of all places? So I got a lot of questions about it. And the people who are saying it seem to be living in some kind of fairy tale world, I don't know. And they're presenting false hopes that I think are really crushing people. So that's all I got to say about that. Now, do I wish it would happen that way? Sure, you bet. Be great. But I'm not putting much faith in it. It doesn't matter if I do or not, I guess. One other thing. Fosse, just found out today. He's just the gift that keeps on giving, you know? Dr. Fosse. Fosse. Well, you know, you need to wear 3 masks now. And I've got stock in a mask company now, so you can buy more masks, because now I can make more money now, too. I guess a poll has been taken, and people are starting to realize this guy is not your friend. He's not out there to help you. Apparently, his daughter has worked for Twitter for about the last 7 or 8 years. So Dr. Fossey's daughter works for Twitter. Did you catch that? Dr. Fossey's daughter works for Twitter. I swear these people are all inbred. And by that I just mean philosophically, of course. It just seems crazy to me that there's more and more of these connections that are made between big tech, China, all the stuff that's going on, the kind of philosophical, idealistic stuff that's happening in terms of cancel culture and everything else that's being, you know, this false morality that's being perpetrated on us. And coming down from somewhere, deciding what's okay and what isn't. Outside of what the government, it's like our government is impotent. It's like we have no protection anymore from freedom of speech or anything else, because there's no platform out there that will allow it. And I think this is going to become much more pervasive in every aspect of our lives. Technology is going to continue to get, I mean, it's really difficult to live off the grid or live outside of the cloud anymore for most people. And I see this as becoming a much more pervasive thing. They will be able to control, you know, they can see everything that you're buying. And it's a lot of it has to do with marketing. And you sign up for it. And now you're allowing them to do things, to take your information and if you want to participate in society and the purchase of things like Amazon. I mean, a huge shift to Amazon happened during this whole COVID thing. Amazon's business grew exponentially. And at the same time, prices at Amazon went up. I don't know if you noticed that or not. You can buy things now locally much cheaper than you can on Amazon. And all of a sudden, having Amazon Prime doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get free two-day delivery, which it used to be. I used to order stuff on, that's a Prime thing. I'll order it, I'll have it in 2 days. Not anymore. Apparently, that's not a thing anymore. I ordered it. It says it'll be here 2 weeks from now. Oh, I thought I was supposed to get it 2 days from now. So just stuff like that is kind of crazy. So all this stuff is going on. One other thing to keep in mind is this. I heard a really good, there's a guy that's he's a lawyer. He's got a good show. I can't think of his name right now, Grueler or something like that. He went through the whole process, and he lays out he spent an hour going through the lawyer defense would be framing everything in their defense of the guy, the George Floyd officer who's being charged, I think he's being charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, a couple other things. I'm not exactly sure. I think one of the charges might be first-degree murder, but he went down through all the different definitions of those things and how they would have to. Now, is he going to be able to? Now, the way he laid out the defense, it's like, I don't see how they can convict him for any of that. There's no way this guy is guilty of anything that they're charging him with. However, they're going to twist it. I guarantee you, the jury they're going to, if you try to find an impartial jury, he's not going to get a fair trial. Now, did what the guy do? I don't know. I don't think they handled the situation well, but they didn't kill the guy. They did not kill George Floyd. And the autopsy report proves that. And he read directly from the autopsy report that has not ever been read, in my opinion, on any kind of major national television newscast. He basically died from fentanyl. He had heart issues already. Now, fentanyl supposedly is something that keeps you from having a drug that is they use for heart patients. However, he also had a very high percentage of marijuana and methamphetamine in him, as well as some other things. And the way all these things react against it. Now, he had enough fentanyl in him to kill him. That there's no question about that. And he was just recovering from COVID. He was COVID positive, I believe, a week earlier or something like that. But he died of acute heart failure or something like that. I think his heart. He had a heart attack, basically. He had a heart attack. It was not based, if you just put your knee on someone's neck, they won't necessarily die of a heart attack. Now, did they contribute to it? Here's my, and this is the theory that I think is very plausible according to the things I've heard that happened. He had fentanyl and some other illegal drugs on him when the police approached him because he was trying to use these phony $20 bills to buy something. He got in his car. He wouldn't get out. The reason he wouldn't get out is because he was taking all these drugs so they wouldn't catch him. He was swallowing them all. And that's why he was overdosed. And he got to a point where he couldn't breathe. His lungs were shutting down. And whether he was saying he couldn't breathe before they even touched him. He was saying he was panicking because he couldn't get in the squad car because it would make him pain, was making him panic. He couldn't breathe. So it doesn't add up. It does not add up. Of course, then they had this photo of the police officer with his knee on between his shoulders, up on the base of his neck, and he was saying he couldn't breathe. And of course, that became the narrative. It's sad. It's tragic that the guy died. I just don't buy it that this officer is guilty of murder. Maybe manslaughter. I don't know. But regardless, they've set themselves up now for if this guy gets a fair trial, there will be riots again. It'll be just like LA all over again. And I just the whole O.J. Simpson thing with the officers there. What happened with that? Or I'm sorry, the Rodney King thing. O.J. Simpson, same thing. Rodney King, the whole Rodney King thing, and the officers that got out. Now those, in my opinion, those officers were probably a little more guilty of what happened there. Even though Rodney King survived that, he just got beat up because he was. They were tasing him. He wasn't, it was ridiculous. The guy wasn't, he just kept coming at him. But, again, that's the way it goes. I don't know. Just my opinions, my theories. I am not for police brutality. I am not for any kind of systemic racism. But as Larry Elder would say, that's just a misnomer. It doesn't exist in this country. We certainly are not more racist in this country than any other country out there. We are one of the least racist countries. So that's about all I've got for this week. So Shabbat Shalom, and evening is coming. It's almost 6 o'clock. I got to get moving. But have a great night. Have a great weekend. I will be talking to you folks over Monday morning. So have a good night. Good weekend. Happy Friday to y'all. Good night.